WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Ever since the news broke Friday evening that Walter Cronkite had died, journalists and TV critics have been paying tribute to him. Our TV critic, David Bianculli, would like to add his voice to those tributes and describe Cronkite's place in TV history. After that, we'll listen back to my 1993 interview with Cronkite.
There are two types of history to consider when trying to put CBS News anchor Walter Cronkite into context. There's the history of broadcast news, CBS News in particular, and there's history itself, especially the tumultuous 1960s. Anyone who was alive then, and old enough to care about current events, will remember when they heard the news that President John F. Kennedy was shot, or that man had landed on the moon. And in the United States, it was most likely that you heard that news from Walter Cronkite. He rose to prominence just as TV news itself did. In an age long before the existence of 24-hour cable news networks, broadcast TV was where people turned when news was breaking. And more than anywhere else, they turned to Walter Cronkite. CBS News has a history that is as simple as it is legendary. On radio, the concept of responsible news reporting was pretty much invented by Edward R. Murrow, who brought his excellence and passions to television in 1951 with See It Now. That was television's first true news magazine. But when CBS launched a 15-minute nightly newscast in 1948, Murrow didn't want to be bothered with it, so Douglas Edwards took the job. Walter Cronkite took over in 1962, expanded the newscast to 30 minutes, and was in place to cover many of the biggest news stories not only of the decade, but of the century. It was his voice you heard, for example, breaking into the daytime soap opera to deliver the first word of President Kennedy's shooting in Dallas.
And I gave it a great deal of thought, Grandpa.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas...
That was the very moment television became a grown-up. For much of the next several days, TV broadcast nonstop, acting like CNN decades before there was a CNN. People watched breathlessly as the suspected assassin was hunted and captured, and as he, Lee Harvey Oswald, was shot and killed on live TV while being transferred by authorities. TV broadcast Kennedy's funeral, too, and provided a communal way for the nation to mourn. Even Cronkite, as he delivered the news, got caught up by emotion at one point, removing his glasses and clearing his throat in a moment anyone who saw it surely remembers. Cronkite, explaining his feelings in a documentary profile, remembered it too.
Our man Dan Rather in Dallas reported that.
People asked me about my emotions during that day. Well, most of the day I didn't have keenly felt emotions.
Looking for the assassin. A report has it that the man has been arrested, that he was operating from a second-floor window.
The only time was actually when I had to announce that the president was dead, officially, that we knew he was gone.
Dinner meeting there. From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Some 38 minutes ago.
And I almost lost it there.
Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital.
In a decade filled with one major news event after another, two other Cronkite reports stand out in my memory above all others. One was his 1968 documentary on Vietnam, when he took a trip and a camera crew to assess the status of the war. He came back persuaded that the best option was to withdraw with honor. And the power of his opinion and his platform was enough to mark a major political sea change. Here's Walter Cronkite in the conclusion of that documentary, then commenting on its impact years later.
For it seems now more certain than ever that the bloody experience of Vietnam is to end in a stalemate.
We heard that Lyndon Johnson heard this and said, well, if I lost Cronkite, I'd lost middle America, and the next week he announced he wasn't going to run for re-election.
Then, in 1969, 40 years ago, there was Walter Cronkite's coverage of the Apollo 11 flight and the first manned moon landing in history. When the lunar lander touched down and astronaut Neil Armstrong descended the ladder in full view of a global TV audience, Walter Cronkite once again let his emotions get the better of him. But this time, those emotions were sheer joy, and he was beaming like a little kid.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Oh, boy. On the moon landing, I'd had just as long as the space program had to prepare for that landing. And Wally Schirra, the former astronaut who was my technical sidekick, kept asking me all morning, well, what are you going to say when they land? I said, well, I never plan these things, but I'll have plenty to say. Turned out I was almost speechless for the first time in my life.
What?
Okay, we're going to be busy for a minute.
What did I say? Wow. Wow, golly, wow.
Wally, say something. I'm speechless.
I'm just trying to hold on to my breath.
Armstrong is on the moon. Neil Armstrong, 38-year-old American, standing on the surface of the moon.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I think I was as impressed with the television coverage as I was with the feat of getting a man on the moon.
Boy, look at those pictures. Wow.
I guess sometimes I'm a pessimist, but I really hadn't expected we were going to get that clear a picture from the moon. We were hoping we would. The technicians told us we were going to, but I was doubtful. And there it was, this great picture.
Look at that.
I think it was the first time we really knew of the extreme capabilities of television, that we could get a picture back from the moon, for heaven's sakes. I've decided if we could do that, we could do anything.
Walter Cronkite was forced to retire in 1981 when Dan Rather took over. With or without Connie Chung as co-anchor, Rather held the reins until the appointment of the current anchor, Katie Couric. And that's it, the entire history of the CBS Evening News. Four solo anchors in more than 60 years. It's no disrespect to the others to say that Walter Cronkite was the best of them all. Or that, in terms of all of broadcast news history, Edward R. Murrow stands at the top, then Walter Cronkite, then everybody else. There will never be another Walter Cronkite. Because of the fragmentation of TV audience levels, there can't be. But when Walter Cronkite was the most viewed news anchor, he also was the most trusted, which is a proud legacy for any newsman to leave. And that's the way it is.
David Bianculli is TV critic for Fresh Air and TVWorthWatching.com.